This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
That Sports Show, Joy 94.9. What's going on here, Stuart? Are you there?
Oh, we're saying hello to all of our listeners.
I can hear you, I hope everyone else can hear us.
Good.
Yep, no, that's all right. I got frazzled a bit then, but that's fine. Now, Stuart, busy show tonight. Rugby league, rugby union, cricket, Formula One, tennis, basketball, skating, and tennis and golf. So, a busy show for us tonight, Stuart.
Skateboarding even.
Yeah, skateboarding, that's right.
You're really going out there into the extreme sports.
Yeah, we are, because the big news in world skateboarding is that someone's come out a champion. So we'll talk about him a bit later, Brian Anderson. First up, Stuart.
NRL.
Is the NRL. Now, did you watch it?
Of course I did. Loved it. Oh, fabulous finish. Amazing.
Yeah, I watched it too. My partner David loves the rugby league players. He loves Cameron Smith.
Yep.
Hello to David if you're listening, and hello to Cameron Smith and to my favourite, Cooper Cronk.
Yes.
Who's your favourite?
Everyone's favourite, I think. Well, I always like the coaches too, because they really smash the chairs and the microphones and they really make a ruckus in those boxes. I love it.
There was a lot of swearing.
There were, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Now, the result. Stuart, who won?
Well, unfortunately, Melbourne went down. It was very, very close, and they almost carried the match at the end, but Cronulla won.
Yeah, 14-12.
First time in their history.
Yeah, 50 years. Now, interestingly, yes, I was watching the end, and I thought the Storm were going to snatch it in the last few minutes. They were so close to their line, but they lost 14-12. Now, Cronulla joined the league about 50 years ago, and famously, it was said that they wouldn't win a premiership until Harold Holt was found. But apparently now they can turn the porch light off.
Oh, no. Poor Harold.
Yeah, poor Harold.
Everyone knows that in Victoria there's a pool named after him, which is wonderful.
I always thought that was weird.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Stuart, that was the result. Now, as a result of that, Craig Bellamy, the Melbourne Storm coach, says that the Melbourne Storm can stand proud after their loss. Did you know, there were 83,625 supporters at the Olympic Stadium in Sydney.
Big crowd for NRL. That's great.
Yeah, not as big as the AFL one, which was 99,900.
But does the Olympic Stadium take more than 83?
Did over at the Olympics, but then they got rid of some seats to make it smaller. But I think it was near capacity because Cronulla, their first chance there. But look, Craig Bellamy said they were gutsy. You know, they were down and then they came back and then they nearly snatched the victory. So Craig Bellamy's been the coach for a long time in Melbourne, and he stuck by the players and they've stuck by him through thick and thin. So well done to Melbourne Storm. I hope they can go one better next year. But 2016 was the year of the fairy tale, Stuart. Western Bulldogs and the Melbourne Storm.
Now, are we allowed to talk about AFL?
No, we're not. No, we'll leave that to the chicks talking footy on at 8:30.
Because some people may not know the result of the match.
That's right. Right after that sports show, chicks talking footy, Fiona, Bree, Danae, and the group. I'm not sure who's on the panel tonight. I did see Bree come in, though.
Big week for them. Good on them.
Yes, fantastic. Actually, I remember the whole panel's coming. There'll be all of them there tonight, Motti and Rachel as well. So there you go. Now, segueing from league to union,
yes. Now, rugby's in Springboks.
Yeah, that's a Springboks.
Sorry, Wallabies in Springboks.
The Wallabies played the Springboks in Pretoria, but they couldn't beat the Pretoria Hoodoo because they haven't won there, and they lost by 8 points. So it was a bit frustrating there in the altitude of Pretoria in South Africa. But, hey, they're heading over to South America to play the Argentines, the Pumas. Mm. So good luck against the Pumas, Wallabies. We like our Australian Wallabies. Now, Stuart, we didn't mention last week even though it did happen that day, that Max Walker had died.
Now, I actually know Max Walker because I used to play tennis with his wife, Kerry.
And, you knew him.
I did know him. big shout out to her. What a great man. What an amazing down-to-earth person who could speak at any level. Just terrific.
Yeah.
And he became one of Australia's greatest authors. Now, I know that sounds strange, but some of his comedy books had such a great public appeal, like How to Hypnotize a Chook, that they actually...
What?
Yes, that was the name of one of his books. It was Australia's bestseller 1 year. He was a very popular author, so he actually managed to turn the sport into a whole sporting career in terms of writing as well.
Well, he was big in... he played for Australia in between 1972 and 1977 in 34 tests, taking 138 wickets at 27.7, including 5 6 wicket hauls. He also played 17 one-day internationals, and that was just when... One day it was starting like the pyjama cricket of the Kerry Packer days. But he was actually the first Tasmanian picked in the test team since somebody in the 1930s, Mr. Badcock. That's an interesting name for our station.
I didn't know that he was a Tasmanian.
Oh, yes, I knew that. Mm. But when I was growing up, he was on the telly on Channel 9 and things like that. And he was famous for the Aeroguard ads. Have a good weekend. Remember those?
Yes, that's
what I thought, who is this man? And then later found out he was a famous cricketer. But to me, it was all about the Aeroguard ads.
He was very funny and he had a great turn of phrase and he really could keep a room laughing. And I think that's something that I'll really remember of him.
Yeah, one of his other books was called How to Kiss a Crocodile.
That's the one, yes.
Yes. Never smile at a crocodile, Stuart.
No, but sad farewell to Max. And yes. Now let's move on to Formula One racing.
Yes. Now, Aussie Daniel Ricciardo won the Formula One Grand Prix in Malaysia at Sepang, just south of Kuala Lumpur. And that was a great effort. He had a tussle with Red Bull's Max Verstappen and Mercedes's Nico Rosberg, but managed to win. So well done. The problem, Verstappen finished second, Rosberg third, Jenson Button was ninth in his 300th race. And overall in the Drivers' Championship, Rosberg now leads from Hamilton and Ricciardo. But the big controversy hasn't been the race, but what happened to the 9 Australians after?
Yes.
Now, I have a pair of what's called budgie smugglers. They're Speedos with the word budgie smuggler written on the back. Now, they've kind of taken off since Tony Abbott was Prime Minister. And I'm a friend with them on Facebook. And people just post pictures of themselves on Facebook with their bottom or their behind or ass or whatever with the word budgie smuggler, and it's all around the world and it's famous. And now they're the big thing is about men with ordinary rigs, so not buff men but just normal ordinary men in their budgie smugglers.
There's nothing illegal about that. I mean, that's
well in Australia, but in Malaysia, which is a Muslim country, it's the budgie smugglers they were wearing weren't Australian flags of Ricciardo, but they were wearing budgie smugglers of the Malaysian flag. Now, apparently that's disrespectful and it's inciting hatred or non-nationalism or whatever.
Or immoral behaviour.
Yeah, and they had their pants down. And they're in jail now waiting to be charged.
So just let me understand that. So was there nudity?
No, that wasn't nude.
So when you said they had their pants down, they still had their budgie smugglers
on? They did, but it was a Malaysian flag.
But still immoral.
But if they had an Australian flag, it might not have been as bad. Earlier this year, about half a dozen tourists stripped naked on the top of Mount Kotakinabalu, which is in Malaysia, and they got charged because it was nude, and they posted on Facebook, and that's disrespectful to their Islamic culture. So I'll be watching closely about that. But, I have a budgie smugglers, and I've put pictures on Facebook of me in Thailand.
Yeah, and so let me understand this. So the police are monitoring people's Facebook posts to identify where there's
immorality. No, it wasn't Facebook there. It was police in the crowd.
In the street. Okay.
And people reported them, locals. But then how can they have an event there in Malaysia, Formula One Grand Prix, without alcohol in a Muslim country? No one would go.
Well, hang on. They do, and people do go.
I know. And so they're double standards. They're letting that happen. These guys were all drinking, and so pulled their pants down. If they didn't drink, they might not have done it. And they've got double standards because they want the tourism money. And
so do they sell alcohol at the course to non-Muslims?
I don't know, but I presume yes.
Right.
But anyway, Stuart, that's a big hot topic of the week. Now, Stuart, next on the show, we're talking about basketball. Because last week we were following Penny Taylor.
We were.
Our veteran whose career had not ended because her team, the Phoenix Mercury, kept winning during the finals.
Yes.
Sadly, this week...
The fairy tale run ended?
It did end because the Phoenix were outclassed 82-67 by the defending champions, the Minnesota Lynx, in Game 3. And they went down in three straight games in the best of five playoff series.
So tearful goodbye to Penny?
Yes. So
a bit of a quiet game from what I've seen from the stats. She only got about four rebounds, just looking at that reporting.
Yeah, but look, the Lynx certainly outplayed them easily. But Penny Taylor, she started in 2001 in the WNBA draft playing for the Cleveland Rockets. Mm. We've been to Cleveland, that Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And then in 2003 she joined the Phoenix Mercury and has been there ever since.
Yeah. And she's a three-time Olympian for Australia.
Yes. Anyway, we'll miss her. Mm. Staying with basketball, former Australian captain and legend Lauren Jackson has announced she's pregnant with her first child.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's very good, Stuart. She tweeted that it's a very exciting time and an unbelievable time, and I'm so happy you're sharing this with me. So that is great news for her. My question is, who's the father?
Mm.
No mention of that. I would say maybe it's IVF or something. We'll see.
Well, Lauren's baby joy, that's good.
Yeah, Lauren's baby joy. It'll be on the cover of a magazine, I'm sure.
Yes.
Mm, fantastic. Good luck to you, Lauren. My nieces in Albury actually play in the Lauren Jackson Stadium in Albury. They named it after her while she was still an active player.
Now, we've got a sport coming up that we don't hear very much of, but in which one of the stars has come out as gay.
That's right, Stuart. Pro skateboarder Brian Anderson has come out as gay in a video on Vice Sports. He's an acclaimed rider who is known for his aggressive style, but he forewarned fans that he was making a big announcement via Instagram. And this is what he said. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm a professional skateboarder, and we are here to talk about the fact that I am gay. He kept his sexuality secret from the public for years. He is worshipped by fans and pro skaters alike for his sweet kick flip, aggressive grinding style, and that's not an app, by the way, and his laid-back attitude. In the interview, he goes on to say how homophobia affected him growing up. Hearing faggot all the time made me think it, his sexuality, was really dangerous to talk about.
Mm.
But he opened about his younger years and the fact that he's not a gold star. He's had sex with women. I dated a girl in high school and we went all the way. I checked it out and realised it just wasn't what I liked, he explained. Anyway, good luck to you, Brian.
Good on Brian. Well done.
Yeah, well done. Coming out. Now, one of your favourite women, Maria. Maria Sharapova.
Sharapova.
Yes. She...
Is she playing again?
No, Stuart. But they've announced that her two-year ban has been reduced to 15 months. So Maria will be eligible to play in 2017 French Open, just whilst we're playing in Miami at Key Biscayne.
Yes.
We need to start practicing once my knees get better.
I must say, I'm quite pleased about that. I think it was fairly tough, the 2 years, given the substance and how many other people were involved in that. The allegations that they didn't know that it was a banned substance, etc., and it was sort of suddenly banned.
Mm.
So I'm good on her, and I hope she comes back well. It's going to be tough, you know, being out of a tour for that period.
Oh, she'll be training hard, but look, she'll probably get booed a lot, but the sport needs her profile. The Court for Arbitration for Sport ruled that originally the penalty was disproportionately harsh for an infraction that she committed unintentionally.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's Maria. So Maria will be back at the French Open. We'll be at Miami. And, yeah.
We'll be playing in the men's C-grade...
40 plus.
Mamba deleted plus doubles. Yeah. Because I actually have a ranking because of my bronze medal in the last games.
Yeah. It's all about
you. Hello, Connell, if you're listening, my tennis partner.
Yes. And I was talking to my personal trainer, Brian, tonight, at personal training before here. Hello to Brian, if you're listening in the car on the way home. Yes, we'll see what happens with that. Now, following on from tennis, the news of the week is we're in the Asian swing. And in Wuhan, Petra Kvitova won her first tournament of the year, beating Dominika Sibulkova. In Tashkent, Kristina Pliskova, the identical twin sister of Karolina Pliskova, who was the runner-up at the US Open to Angelique Kerber.
So this sounds like a Dynasty episode to me. Yeah, so well, there's Pliskova. There's two Pliskova sisters.
They're identical twins.
Right, okay.
And Karolina got to the US Open final, ranked number six in the world. Kristina was ranked 100, and she came from nowhere and won the tournament and now is number 66, just 60 positions behind her sister. She beat the defending champion Hibono from Japan. And in the men's tournaments, a qualifier, Karen Kachev, defeated Ramos Vinolas from Spain in Chengdu. And in Shenzhen, Thomas Berdych in his comeback tournament beat Richard Gasquet, our favourite.
Yes.
Now, quickly, the Ryder Cup. The golf.
Yep.
The US Open ended... Sorry, the US Open. The US team ended the streak of the three consecutive defeats to Europe. This tournament's held every 2 years and was held in Minnesota in the US this time. And the final score was 7-11, which was the biggest win by the US since 1981. So, well done to the Americans in the Ryder Cup. Interestingly, there was a fan heckling from the audience when Rory McIlroy was trying to go for a putt. And so Rory said, do it yourself. And the bloke said, okay. And then he came in and took this long putt and got it in. It was on the news, didn't you see it?
Well, what happens with the scoring?
Oh, it was just a joke. A play putt.
But they actually kept the coin where the ball was.
Oh,
And then Rory went for it and presumably missed.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that. They didn't show that part. We'll talk to Ash McMaster, president of the Melbourne Surge, about what's going on with water polo here in Melbourne and around the country.
Some great things. Great.
That's right. You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Call 1-300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
Now, we've got in the studio with us Ash McMaster, president of the Melbourne Surge Water Polo Club. Hello, Ash.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Very well, thank you.
Now, we were catching up before the show and we've discovered we've got a lot more in common than we realised.
We do indeed.
But that's our little secret. Now, we're going to talk about a few things tonight. Firstly, just generally the Melbourne Surge, what they do and how they do about it. And then we're going to talk about that you've got a fundraiser coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we'll have a quick chat about your biennial grudge match, which has grown from two teams to three teams.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that later. Yep. So generally, the Melbourne Surge is Melbourne's water polo club. And how can people find out about your club?
So there's many ways you can find out about us. We train on Fridays and Sundays at South Yarra Sports and Aquatic Centre in South Yarra. So you're always welcome to contact us through Facebook or through our website, www.melbournesurge.org, and contact us through any of those channels. And we'll be happy to get back to you with some details.
Yep, that's good. And you can be all sorts of levels, right?
Yeah, definitely. So we accept people, anyone from the LGBTI community, any age, any ability. I first started when I had no knowledge of water polo whatsoever, all the way through to people who've played before in high school or at university.
You have to be able to swim, though.
You do have to be able to swim. It is a prerequisite with that one, unfortunately.
And they swim very fast out to the ball when they put it in the middle. That's amazing how fast they go.
Well, there's usually one person on one side of the pool that does the swim up, I'm usually on the other side of the pool to that person. We'll just say that.
Are you the fastest one?
No, I'm on the other side. I don't do the swim up.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. How are your numbers with women?
Good. We've actually, every year we run a recruitment drive, so we always get a lot of female interest. We've got a few new female members in our ranks this year.
Yep.
We're always looking to increase through all letters of the LGBTI community, so anyone's more than welcome to come along. We do train, and the way that Water Polo Victoria structures the competitive fixture is that they are men's and women's leagues, but our training sessions are always mixed and inclusive for anyone who wants to come along.
Well, that's terrific, because here at That Sports Show, we are always very encouraging of women in sport, because all the clubs find it difficult to attract women. Now, we're going to move on to your fundraiser. You've got a fundraiser on the 14th of October, which is your Oh, it's inaugural.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Melbourne Surge Trivia Night. I thought you had one before.
No, we've never had a trivia night before.
Ah, and it's on Friday the 14th of October at the Collingwood Town Hall.
That's correct.
Now, yes. How can people get involved with that, and how much does it cost?
So you can actually book tickets through our website, which is www.melbournesurge.org. Tickets are $25 plus a booking fee each.
Mm-hmm.
As of Tuesday the 4th of October, the tickets are over 75% sold out.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's great going.
Mm. Yeah, so we've done really well with our ticket sales so far. Mm. There are still some tables left, obviously, and we do actually we've decided to put forward a special offer just for Joy listeners.
Oh, okay.
So our
special offer, everyone. Listen up.
Yeah, yes. Listen up, everyone. Here it comes. Our early bird pricing actually finished on Friday. But to Joy users, we've actually extended we've actually extended the early bird pricing.
Yes.
When you check out, simply use the voucher code JOY949 or lowercase JOY. Digits 949, mm-hmm. And you get the early bird prices instead.
So that's fantastic.
You just have to say that you're on Joy, listening to Joy.
No, you just put that code into it, okay. The voucher code. Haven't you bought online before?
let's just go with no.
We'll leave it at that. Now, unfortunately, I can't make it due to a family commitment, but Stuart, it's still available for you to go there. And food and beverages on the night?
Yes, so we'll have a fully team-staffed bar. We'll be selling beer and wine, and we will have FPOS facilities available.
Oh, great.
So there is no BYO alcohol. You can BYO food and snacks, but you can also look out for local options available on the night and bring it along with you as well.
Oh, that's good. Now, when you say a team staff bar, does that mean they'll be in their speedos?
I'm not sure. They may be. They may not be. We'll see how things go on.
Well, that might attract some people. That's all.
If we get a full house, then I think that could be a possibility.
The reason why Malcolm's asking this question is we've just gone through a controversy that erupted in Malaysia during the week, where some Australian tourists, some sporting tourists,
at the Formula One Grand Prix,
actually
stripped down. You'd know about this, do you?
Yes.
About down to their budgie smugglers with the Malaysian flag, and they were disrespecting the country.
But you play a sport where people compete in budgie smugglers, so
yeah. But you know what? Walking around the street drinking in your budgie smugglers.
So it's
no, never.
You're in a pool.
Yep.
Unless it's at Pride March.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. Yes. So very good. Now, moving on to you have in the past, and I've been to these, had your grudge match every year during midsummer, and I think then a return grudge match during June or something on the Queen's Birthday long weekend.
Correct.
With the Sydney Stingers and the Melbourne Surge. But this year, tell me about what happened. It changed. The format changed. Tell me what happened.
So historically, we've always run two grudge matches a year. The first one is the Australia Day long weekend, and it's here in Melbourne. And the Sydney Stingers come down and we play. And then our second one is usually the Queen's Birthday long weekend in June, and we go up to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the start of this year, obviously, we had the inaugural Pride Cup as part of Midsummer.
Yes.
And we partnered with the Victorian Seals and Victorian Water Polo to make that happen.
Yep.
And I missed it because I was in New Zealand.
You seem to keep missing all of our events, Malcolm.
I know, all events for everything. I'm annoyed. Anyway.
So that was the start of this year. And also at the start of this year, the president of the Sydney Stingers and myself got together,
mm-hmm.
and we went to Brisbane to gauge some expressions of interest about LGBTI water polo team in Brisbane.
Mm.
We've had a terrific response. So the Brisbane Tritons has now actually been formed.
Great.
Do they have a logo with the
3 points?
Yeah. What's his name?
Triton.
The under the sea guy.
Triton?
Neptune.
Oh, yeah. No, Neptune, Triton.
I was thinking of Aquaman. Yeah. No, different one.
Man from Atlantis, Patrick Duffy. Okay, keep going.
So they have actually just unveiled their new logo and all of their details. So
yes.
For any Brisbane listeners,
yes.
You can always check them out. So we decided to have a grudge match between all three teams this year. So
yes.
Normally it's two games between two teams. And this year we had three clubs with eight teams competing in a round robin. There were over 100 water polo players from the LGBTI community competing.
Wow, and my favourite part would have been looking at the bench.
Yes.
Once they got out of the pool, they're heaving. That's
yes.
the best part.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because you can't see much of the underwater tuggy-tuggy. Mm. It's more the throwing the ball
when they're actually getting out of the water is when I like to watch.
Because we were pressed for time this year, we had to play some very short games in the round robins.
All right, so was it like 2020 cricket? It's 2020 water polo.
We did have a knockout round, so it was quite quick. So it was over 3 hours, one game to progress you through to the next round, and then all the way through to the end in the death match.
And you would have been exhausted by the last match.
I think we had some pretty tired people. That was the Tritons' first competitive matches against anyone except each other.
And they won.
And they actually took out the title.
Wow.
And they won. And who was runner-up?
The runner-up was the Sydney Stingers.
Okay, and Melbourne Surge third.
We were third, exactly.
Now, are you heading to Miami next year?
We are entering teams into Miami next year.
Fantastic.
Yes.
We're going to Miami.
Fantastic.
We'll see you there. And we'll be talking more about the ARC Games and coming up to those in the next 8 or 9 months. So we'll have you back on about that and maybe your next grudge season in January.
And hopefully we'll win the next grudge season as
well. Yes, fantastic. Anyway, thanks for joining us tonight on That Sports Show. That was that. Next week, we have... the Globe Awards night.
Fantastic.
No, the Globe Awards. We're talking to the President, David McAuliffe, about the Sports Award. Good. Anyway, that's been That Sports Show with Mal and Stu. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.